living the Christian life ourselves, obeying God's Word and being faithful, there's no more important thing than we can do than lead some soul to Christ. The song we just sang, Jan led, "Lead me to some soul today." In Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, our Lord made a profound announcement. He said that the majority of the people who live on this earth will be lost. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. When Jesus was talking about making choices in life, choosing to serve God or not to serve God, he clearly indicates that the majority of people are going to be lost. The majority of the people who live on this earth will not be led to Christ. He says in verse 13, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it." Think about the narrow gate. The narrow gate, he says in the next verse, verse 14, "Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." As Jesus taught concerning salvation, the Apostle Paul taught, the Apostle Peter and other writers in the New Testament, the reason the way is so difficult for people is because from the fleshly human side, we desire things that we can see, feel, and touch. We as human beings desire to be filled as the masses did when they followed Jesus, searching for food. Food that lasts only for a little time and then we die physically. So then, we understand that it's important then to lead people to eternal life, to the bread of life, to Jesus Christ, to the Word of God that brings them to salvation. Lead me to some soul today. The fact is that it's difficult to lead people to Christ because the fact that they are pulled by the world. Look, if you will, back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." So the narrow way that leads in life is difficult because God places certain restrictions on those who would enter into that life. That is, that he has requirements for us, that we need to come to him and understand his will and believing that he is the truth, that he is the living God, that his son came and lived and died on the cross, was buried and rose again the third day, and being able to accept that through the eye of faith and the testimony of inspired witnesses from the Bible who wrote all these things about Jesus and God's plan of salvation for us. So why is it hard to lead some soul today? It's because few people are interested. It's because more people want to serve the world and the things of the world and themselves than they do God. Look over to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. Matthew 12 and verse 30, Jesus talks about the fact of making a choice. We're either going to choose to serve God or we're not going to. He says in verse 30 of Matthew chapter 12, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad." Lead me to some soul today. How are we going to find that soul and lead that soul to Christ? It may be difficult to find someone who's interested in lending an ear to the truth of God's Word. As the Jews were and many others in the days of old, and the Israelites in days gone by under the law of Moses, and even in the days of Christ when he walked on this earth, many of them had hardened their hearts. Their ears were closed and they had closed their eyes to the truth. They had hardened their hearts and they were dull of hearing. They didn't want to hear what God had to say. So it is difficult sometimes to lead people to the way of the truth, to the way of the cross. But it is important then that we understand our responsibility as Christians to be thankful that we learn the way of salvation, that we have our sins washed away because we've come to Christ in confession and repentance and obedience in baptism, and we have risen to walk in newness of life, Romans 6, 3 and 4. And by walking in that new life then, our duty then is to go and to teach others. We talked the other night about the fact of our obligation to teach others. And we cited some examples in the Bible of people who went out and taught other people. Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, those early Christians, when they were scattered abroad from Jerusalem because of persecution, they went everywhere preaching the Word. They went down through Samaria and through the uttermost parts of the world preaching the Word. And we have all those examples in the book of Acts of people who were led to Christ because those Christians went out and tried to find someone to lead to Christ, and whoever they found, they talked to them about Christ. So the problem may be today is that we may not be leading many souls to Christ because maybe we're not doing our part in talking to people about Jesus, or at least trying to make the opportunity to speak to someone about the Word of God. The way we're going to lead someone, some soul to Christ and to bring them to the truth is through the Word of God. Romans 10:17, Paul says, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. And so we can't please God without faith, a faith that obeys, and others can't please God without faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So if we're going to lead someone to Christ, and we want someone to be in our path that we can lead them, and we can go to that person and say, lead me to some soul today that I can bring them to Christ, we need to be able to know the Word of God so that we can teach it to others, because we are called by the gospel. We need to teach others the gospel, and they need to hear the Word of God so they can be called by it by our mouths when we speak to them. Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So if we're going to be led to some soul, and some soul is going to come to us, and we're going to teach them the Word of God, we've got to have the Word open and up front and teach them that so they can come to God through obedience to the Word. Romans 10:17, so then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So that faith in God comes from hearing the Word. If we're going to lead some soul to Christ, and we're going to look for someone to lead, then we need to have the tools in our mind and our hearts so that we can teach someone when we find them, so that we can lead them to Christ. And so then we go back to Matthew chapter 7, and we see that not only is it difficult sometimes to bring people to Christ because people have their own ideas and they want to go about the world and they want to love the world and do the things of the world and the things of the flesh. And so rather than being restricted and drawn in by the realm of God and the rules of God, they want to do their own thing. They want to go the broad way. So in Matthew chapter 7, we go back and we read these verses where he says then in verse 14, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which lead to life, and there are few who find it. Few are going to find the right way. But we go back and we see in verse 13, the narrow gate is the one we need to enter at. But wide then is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. And so the things of the world is what pulls people away from God. The road of the world, the broad way of destruction, of the things of the world, the love of the world, the lust of flesh, the pride of life, and such like. That's what pulls people away. So it may be difficult to pull people away from the pleasures of the world that they're so enticed with. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2 and read just a few verses there. When John talks about the world, and he warns people not to love the world, neither the things of the world. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 15, he says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now we pause with that verse a minute. We go back to Matthew 7 and we see that people want to go the broad way, the way that's not difficult, the way that's easier, the way that they're enticed by. Well, why is that? Because they love the world. Worldliness is against God, and we're going to have to give up some ways and things of the world and temptations of the world if we're going to serve God. If we're going to leave someone to Christ, they've got to understand the love of the world has to be second and foremost and far apart from their life, and God needs to be first. 1 John 2:15 again, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the Father, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is all the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So if we're going to lead someone to Christ and want to be led to someone to bring them to Christ, we've got to be able to teach them the difference in the world and the difference in God. The things of the world, the lust of flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and the things of God. We've got to be able to teach them the difference in the broad way that leadeth to destruction and the narrow way that leadeth unto life. And so that's knowing the gospel. So lead me to some soul today. Go to Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul is talking to us as Christians. And as Christians, he's exhorting us then that we need to be people who will turn our lives around and serve God and put away the things of the world. And if we do that, we can lead people to Christ because our actions are in keeping with the will of God. Our actions are no longer of the world or among the world or from the world, but they're of God. So we can lead people to Christ by a good example. Romans 12 verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what's that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. By virtue of the fact that we live the Christian life in obedience to God, we're going to bring some people to Christ because they see Christ in us. Go back to Matthew chapter 5. I think we used this just a week or two ago, and we use it quite often in our lessons. But Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 13, and we use these sometimes in the invitations on Wednesday night. But Matthew 5, verse 13, Jesus says, you're the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So, lead me to some soul today, and what am I going to do when I get to that soul? What are we going to do when we make contact with that soul? Is it going to be our neighbor? Is it going to be a co-worker? Is it going to be a fellow student? Is it going to be someone we're doing business with? Is it going to be our children or our parents or our brother or sister or perhaps even a husband or wife who's married to someone who's not a Christian? Lead me to some soul today, and when we get to that soul, do we know what to do when we find them? Do we know what to tell them? Do we know about the gospel? Do we know about the truth so they can understand the difference in right and wrong? And the difference in what God says and what the world says. So lead me to some soul today. The song, let's look at it. Number 476, verse 1 that Jan led says, lead me to some soul today. And then it says, oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. What have we been talking about for 10 minutes? Do we know what to say? When we're led to someone, when we come in contact with one, do we know what to say to them concerning the truth of God's Word? Are we ready to give them an answer of the hope that is within us? Are we able to expound on them the truth of God's Word and tell them why we believe what we believe and back it up with Scripture? Book, chapter, and verse, when he says, the first principle then, if you lead me to some soul today, teach me, Lord, just what to say. The Lord has taught us in His Word what to say. Matter of fact, in the Great Commission, He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What we need to say is the things of the gospel, the good news of Christ, the basic principles. And not clouded over with too many things that they need to learn later, but the gospel, the good news of Christ. God had a Son, only Son. He sent into this earth, and He gave His only begotten Son, John 3:16. And His Son came, and He gave His life. Matthew 20, verse 20, He gave His life a ransom for all. And then what did that do? Yes, He came, and it was proved by many witnesses, and teach them how that Christ came and lived the perfect life and set the perfect example and willingly died on the cross for our sins and was buried and rose again the third day and was saw by many witnesses time and again until He ascended into heaven. The gospel call, the gospel news. Do we know how to teach them about hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized? Can we cite them Scriptures as an example? Like on the day of Pentecost when people heard and they believed and they were moved by the gospel and they were told to repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and how they gladly received that word, Acts 2 and verse 41. And they were baptized that day, and the Lord added them to the church, the plan of salvation. Lead me to some soul today and teach me, Lord, just what to say. And it's not just leading me to some soul today and teaching them the plan of salvation, but there's going to be opportunities for us then to talk to someone about situations that they're in to bring them back to Christ. You know, if we bring a soul, let's go to James chapter 5. Let's go to James chapter 5. And let's look at that just a minute. As we look at James chapter 5, we think about verse 19. James 5 verse 19 says, "Brethren, if any among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins." So, teach me how to teach someone to know about Christ, and then when we know how to do that, to teach the basic principle of the gospel, then teach me how, let me learn how, to bring somebody back to Christ who has gone astray. You know, the danger is, the Hebrew writer warns that we need to take heed lest we fall. The Corinthian writer, Paul, warns that we can fall. And Jesus talks about the fact that any man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. So some people will fall away. Lead me to some soul today who's fallen away. There may be those in our number here who are not here tonight, who are on the verge of falling away or who have fallen away. Do we know what to say to them? Do we know what the Bible teaches about going to our brother? Go to Galatians. Let's go to the book of Galatians chapter 6. And let's see, think about that. Lead us to some soul today, but what are we going to do with that soul when we find it? Are we going to be able to teach them the plan of salvation and then teach them in the right way to bring them back to Christ? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a trespass or a fault," as the King James Version says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering your own self, let you also be tempted." You know, lead me to some soul today and teach me, Lord, just what to say. If my brother is if he's backsliding, if he's already backslid, then help me to understand that I want to go to him in love, in kindness, in meekness, in concern, in care for his soul, with the right attitude, considering my own self, that I can also be tempted and fall in the same shape he's in. And I want to bring him back, bring that soul back. Look at chapter 6 and verse 2. It says, "Bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ." And so, we're to bring people to Christ, go and find a soul and teach them how to be saved. And then if there are those that are in error, or those that are struggling, those who are having problems, we go to them and teach them in the right way so that we can bring them back to Christ. The song says, number 476, "Lead me to some soul today. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say." And then notice, "Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way." It may be friends and family. Cannot find their way. I could probably ask Jacob what the eunuch said to Philip when he went to him, walked up to his chariot, said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The eunuch said, "How can I unless some man got me? How can I unless some man got me? Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way." Some people just need someone to go to them and say, "Can I help you? Can I tell you about the Word of God? Can I study with you?" Verse 2 of 476 says, "Lead me to some wayward soul." Now, we've all been talking about restoring the erring, haven't we? "Lead me to some wayward soul, to one who's wandered far from the fold. Help me turn him unto thee, thy blessings to behold." Jesus talks about the 90 and 9. The one that was lost. The one that went astray. And the shepherd left the 90 and 9 and went and sought until he found the one that was gone astray and brought it back. We need to be that concerned about souls that are lost. Lead me to a brother or sister today who's in error, who's not obeying the Lord as they should, and let's bring them back. Those who don't know the truth, and those who need to be taught the truth, and those who have known the truth yet turn from it. What about somewhere in between? No lukewarm place, is it? But what about, there are those who have never obeyed the gospel, let's go to them. There are those who have fallen away, let's go get them. But sometimes we need to watch, because sometimes there are those right in here in the church who are just about to slide off the rock. And there may be some signs that you see in that person. And if you see it in me, you come to talk to me. There may be signs of those that are just about to fall off and just leave the fold, but they're hanging on by an edge. You say, get as close as you can without falling off. I don't know how, if we can really gauge that or not. We're either in or out. But there are signs sometimes of people who are losing interest. Maybe they don't answer their Bible questions anymore. Or they don't come to all the Bible classes. Or they don't listen during the Bible class. Or perhaps they begin to come in late for the services or just in time to take the Lord's Supper. Or they come in halfway through the classes or they wait and just come for worship and they get to where they miss a lot. That might be a sign. If they're not having a lot of sickness, something devastating hadn't happened, that might be a sign we need to go talk to them. Lead me to some soul who's struggling. It may be a young person that's struggling with the issues of life, going out into the workforce and learning to deal with society and people and that young Christian struggling, overwhelmed almost with people around them that are trying to pull them away. We need to talk to them and encourage them and build them up and give them strength and say, we're on your side. And this is how it is. The majority of the people are going to go the way of the world and few there be that find the way of God. Don't go the way of the world. Don't go the way of the world. Verse 3, number 476 says, lead me from self-righteousness. Lead me from self-righteousness. Christ always be seen in me. Lead me from self-righteousness. May Christ always be seen in me. Those who know the gospel, those who've obeyed the first principle of the gospel, those of us who are baptized into Christ, we need to keep a humble attitude. Humble ourselves before God and He will lift us up. Humility. Who God is, who I am, what God expects of me, and my walk in life. It needs to be an walk of humbleness. There's not righteous, not one righteous, no, not one. There's only one that's righteous, and that is God. We don't need to think too highly of ourselves. We need to understand that my place is to obey God and serve Him and get to heaven and help others also. And one thing that will turn people off is a self-righteous attitude. We need to not go around to other people with a proud look as we've been studying in the book of Proverbs. Have the right attitude. Have the right desire to help someone. Lead me from self-righteousness. May Christ always be seen in me. We read Matthew 5 earlier about the example we set. Christ set the example for us. And He set an example that we can follow. And if we let Christ live in us and we follow His will, then actually what we can do is by patterning our life after Jesus Christ and following Him, we can't go wrong. We'll be serving in a way and living in a way that we can serve God and do His will. Jesus set the perfect example for us to follow. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And let's look at verse 21. He says, for this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth. Who, when He was reviled, did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously. Who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Jesus set the example. We're to follow Him. By doing that, we can be a good example. We can set the right example with an attitude. We won't be self-righteous, but we will practice and learn and try to live a righteous life before God. Let's go ahead and read verse 3 again. Lead me from self-righteousness. May Christ always be seen in me. How can I do any less than lead more souls to Thee? Lead more souls to Thee. We're going to lead souls if we act right, think right, talk right, have the right association. Avoid evil communications that corrupt good morals, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Abstain from every form of evil, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22. If we set that right example and then we teach others about Christ, not only by example, but by word, we can bring people, we can find that soul and we can bring them to Christ. Verse 4 of number 476. Open hearts of those I love to hear and heed the gospel call. How are we going to open hearts? Well, we're going to open hearts by setting the right example, because Christ set the example. We follow in His steps. Our example will open hearts. But I tell you what will open hearts. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2, and we talked about the Word of God. But living the Word of God will open hearts, and then teaching the Word of God, when we find that soul and teach it to them, it will open hearts. Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached that first gospel sermon. Matter of fact, down in verse 29, he said, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David." And he talked about David and David being buried and gone. Then he talked about Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead. And Christ, God did not let him decay. In verse 32, "This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses." Look about down about verse 37 about moving people's hearts. "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" Open hearts of those I love. We can open hearts by setting a good example, and we can open hearts by, when we find that soul that needs teaching, teach them the Word of God. Open hearts of those I love to hear and heed the gospel call. May they start to heaven above, and may they never fall. One thing that can keep you and me from falling as a Christian is every day endeavoring to live and obey God as we should, and endeavoring every day and realizing that we're teaching someone in some way by our example. And that'll keep us on the straight road, the narrow way, because we're living right in the sight of God and we're trying to lead others. Let's look at the course of number 476. "Few there are who seem to care, and few there are who pray. Melt my heart and fill my life. Give me one soul today." Jesus hit the nail on the head when He said, "Enter ye in at the straight and narrow way, because few there be that find it. Because broad is the way and wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Few there are who seem to care, and few there are who pray. Melt my heart and fill my life. Give me one soul today." I'm glad Jan led that song, because outside of living the Christian life ourselves, and part of living the Christian life ourselves, one of the most important things we can ever do is lead someone to Christ. If you're not a Christian this evening, if you haven't confessed Christ, repented of your sins, and been baptized, it's going to be hard to lead some soul to Christ if you're not obeying the Lord. If you haven't been baptized, and if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you're willing to confess that, repent of your sins, and be baptized, He'll wash your sins away, and you can leave this building a child of God. Study, learn, and grow. Follow the example of Christ. Live faithful, and you'll lead someone else to Christ. Sometime in your life, you'll lead someone by word, by deed, and by your example, or by verbally teaching. You'll help lead someone to Christ. Perhaps you're here this evening, and maybe you're one of those who have become weak, and you're not serving God as you should. There is a way that you can be led back to Christ, and that is confessing your wrong, repenting of your sins, and praying to God, who's faithful and just, to forgive you of your sins if you'll confess your wrong and pray to Him. If we can help you in that regard, Jan's going to lead us in the invitation song. Please come while we stand and while we sing.